is the handmaiden of love. Dialogue is the pathway to truth. Humility is recognition of personal insufficiency and the willingness to learn. To learn is to die voluntarily and be born again in great ways and small. So speech must be untrammeled so that dialogue can take place, so that we can all humbly learn, so that truth can serve love, so that suffering can be ameliorated, so that we can all stumble forward to the kingdom of God, from the book Maps of Meaning. One universal reality we all have to accept is that life is suffering. We are born to die, and we inevitably deal with chaos and evil along the way. Think of a time when you've experienced pain, physical or mental, so severe you couldn't function. I know many of us here are, or will be, experiencing some level of pain. Your body betraying you, breaking down, and delivering grief continually. Your mind is darkened, lonely, and sorrowful. The pain in your soul of lost loved ones, that gnawing emptiness that never goes away. Depression looms, and it feels like you're rooted in concrete every day. Chaos rears its evil head as travail and tragedy fall like a cold rain at every turn. Your dreams and destiny turn to dust and crushed under the ugly reality of daily suffering. Many of us don't want to get up in the morning and face another day of disappointment and setbacks. We long for just one day that we can feel okay and things can go right. What's next? How much lower can we go? Is there anything to look forward to on the downward spiral of the cycle of life on our way to death? We can turn on any news channel and the tsunami of evil overwhelms us instantly. How much longer must we endure this 6,000-year intergalactic planetary drama? Despite this, it's amazing to me that we have suffering people everywhere in all types of pain, and yet we still have a functioning society. We are here at church today. It's miraculous. People are working and living through vast amounts of pain, accomplishing so much, striving to contain and balance the chaos of life. The Bible is replete with suffering characters who reached their breaking point due to the pain of life. Moses in Numbers 11:14 says, "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me, if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." We read of Naomi and Ruth, verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Elijah said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am not better than my ancestors." Jonah, chapter 3. "Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. I am angry enough to die." Reading in Job, we find, "Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out of the bitterness of my soul. Terrors overwhelm me. My life ebbs away. Days of suffering grip me. Night pierces my bones. My gnawing pains never rest." Jeremiah felt the same way in chapter 20, verse 14. "Cursed be the day I was born. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame?" Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Speaking of our ultimate example of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In Mark, we read, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and watch. And he went a little beyond them, fell to the ground, and began to pray that, if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Webster defines the word suffer as to put up with, especially as inevitable or unavoidable, to submit to or be forced to endure. When we go through dark times, it may be tragic, but not absolute hell. There's a big gap between tragedy and hell. An example would be people fighting at a deathbed. The death is bad enough, but you can take that, as terrible as it is, and make it something that's absolutely insufferable. And here we are with COVID. This pandemic, whether you agree with it or not, has been bad enough. We are making it worse by disagreeing with each other about how we're handling this, rather than loving each other and supporting each other through the process. We're making this tragedy that's happening before us even more miserable. As Christians, we have a responsibility to make the world a better place. We ought to take responsibility to alleviate suffering and not make it unbearable. Paul in Romans 5, 3-5 says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is our responsibility and the direction we should take. If we do not work to alleviate suffering, if we do not carry our cross daily and follow Jesus, if we are not bettering people's lives, then what are we doing? People are hurting, people are in pain, people are suffering. Without God, without hope, there's only one direction left. When faced with the inevitable suffering of life, people can devolve into the state of nihilism, the belief that life has no meaning or value. The etymological origin of nihilism is the Latin root word nihil, meaning nothing, which also is found in the related term annihilate, meaning to bring to nothing. At this juncture in life, the state of nihilism, there are a couple of paths that one can take. It has been argued that nihilism can be a bridge to a new way of being. The rejection of Christianity and prizing truthfulness as a virtue can lead to an intellectual honesty that rejects faith. The quest for honesty gives birth to a passion of knowledge. The search for answers to life's hardest questions and not the worship of God becomes the greatest passion. People turn to science and intellectualism as their savior versus a true savior, Jesus. Have we not seen this through the pandemic response? The darker path to nihilism is to become embittered by life, to despair of any hope, and turn to suicide as the answer. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and the overall suicide rate has increased 35% since 1999 and is rapidly growing. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 to 34, and 78% of all people who die by suicide are male. The CDC recently released survey data on adult mental health, looking at a national sample of adults during the last week of June 2020. Unsurprisingly, the stress level was high, with 41% overall reporting at least one adverse mental or behavioral health condition. One question asked the person responding if they had seriously considered suicide in the last 30 days. And more than 1 in 10 said yes. Even more shockingly, of the young adults surveyed, the 18 to 24-year-olds, 1 out of 4 answered yes. The young adults also reported the highest levels of symptoms of anxiety and depression. 63% reported either one or both. In all, 75% of those 18 to 24-year-olds report at least one bad symptom. Even further down this dark path of nihilism, some develop a hatred for the existence of life itself, turn malevolent, and take revenge for the outrage of suffering. Quote, individuals whose life is without meaning hate themselves for their weakness and hate life for making them weak. This hatred manifests itself in absolute identification with destructive power in its mythological, historical, and biological manifestations, manifests itself in the desire for absolute extinction of existence. Such identification leads men to poison whatever he touches, to generate unnecessary misery in the face of inevitable suffering, to turn his fellows against themselves, to intermingle earth with hell, merely to attain vengeance upon God and creation, from Maps of Meaning. In this state, thoughts take an unimaginable dark turn through brooding and isolation on specific misfortunes. Spirit of Prophecy tells us, nothing can weaken and unbalance the human mind like brooding over supposed wrongs, thinking you are not appreciated. David gives us an answer in Psalms 42:21. Quote, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. Quoting again from Maps of Meaning, life without meaning is mortal limitation, subjection to pain and suffering without recourse. Life without meaning is a tragedy, without hope of redemption. The abandonment of meaning ensures the adoption of a demonic mode of adaptation because the individual hates pointless pain and suffering and will work towards its destruction. This work constitutes revenge against existence, rendered unbearable by pride. End quote. You can see this being played out in the lives of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, infamous for the Columbine Massacre. And it plays a role in many of the horrific crimes we read about regularly. Quoting from Medical Ministry, Satan knows well the properties of the mind. For thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind, and he has learned to know it well. By his subtle workings in these last days, he is linking the human mind with his own, imbuing it with his thoughts. And he is doing this work in so deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at his will. The great deceiver hopes so to confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice will be heard. End quote. Now that we have an understanding of the two directions that people can go when coping with their pain, the Bible offers us many words of hope through suffering. Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the unsurpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. 1 Peter 5:10 reads, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Paul writes in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for in this light momentary affliction is it preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond comprehension. And as Angie read in Revelation 21:4, the ultimate promise, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things are passed away. Through our pain, we should not fall into the depths of despair, but rather work through our suffering and with responsibility, helping others out of suffering. We cannot let ourselves separate from God. This is our hope through suffering. Reading from Maranatha, their former trials and suffering in this world will be forgotten and lost amid the glories of the new earth. Amen. Tell me what. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Okay. Dear Father, thank you so much for giving us the hope of eternal life. Thank you for bearing the ultimate suffering, grief, and sorrow, and dying, that you would, and rising again, that you would be a savior for all of us. Please help us take responsibility for walking in your paths and for alleviating suffering around us wherever we can, in whatever small or great ways we can. Thank you for this church, everyone's here today. Please be with us and bless the rest of our Sabbath. In your name, amen.